Hello, my name is Alex, and I'm currently here with Kai.
Hello, I'm Kai.
And we got to attend the Download Press tent, and we also got to attend Download itself, which was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was fun, wasn't it?
So, in this little podcast, we'll be talking about the whole experience, we'll have some reviews, we'll have some interviews littered throughout, and we'll also be talking about the village, which, I mean, let's just jump into it. We did 5 days, so, Kai, you as someone who's done 3 days before, would you say that you would rather do five than three?
Both are good. I mean, the five, you know, I said to this when we were there, I think the five is better when you're with people to enjoy it with. You know, because you've got all the shows that go on in the village, you've got all the rides. It's very lively. I thought, obviously, when I first did Download, I just did the three, because I thought five would be, you know, the first two, it would be boring. You know, the bands aren't playing, and that's what you're really there for. But now that I've done the five, like I said, once you're with the right people and you're actually getting out and doing stuff, it is so much fun.
And there is actually bands and artists playing throughout the 2 days.
You've got entertainment, and you know, you got a couple of tents that do have different things. Like you got the cinema tent, which played some classic films, Shaun of the Dead. Oh,
I think good film. One of my personal highlights from the village was some of the DJ sets, especially DJ Soundwave. Because, one, he comes from Leicester like us, and we've seen him before, but also see how he translates to a Download stage is absolutely amazing.
I really like the circus.
Circus of Horrors.
Of Horrors, yeah.
I think if you have a weak stomach, Circus of Horrors isn't for you, because I cringed at some bits.
Yeah, that guy who put the...
There is a guy who uses his piercing holes to hold
up. Is it his septum or his lip?
He uses his septum and his lip. He uses a lot of different piercings as a way to hold up really heavy objects.
I think it was a concrete block, like a big concrete block. He's lifted it up with his septum piercing. It was, ow.
But, yeah, I think it's... Yeah, I would definitely recommend going for the full 5 days. And the food's amazing.
Oh, the food was so good.
My personal favourite stand is Easy Cheesy.
There's just something about festival food. It just tastes better than normal food.
And thankfully, there was also a co-op on site that supplied a lot of essentials. And if you forget some of your camping gear, you can just pick it up at the co-op.
That co-op was good. I think we spent too much time in that co-op.
I don't think there's such a thing as too much time in a co-op.
I mean, it does have everything. Especially that one.
It was very well stocked.
Very well stocked, yeah. It never seemed to run out of anything. But the whole thing, like I said, it was just so alive. Even the 2 days where, like I said, the bands weren't playing, it was just such a good atmosphere. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I don't think I definitely wasn't bored at all.
And obviously then the bands actually came on. And I think I've never been that happy in my entire life than I was when the bands were playing.
Which band?
Avenged Sevenfold. There were a highlight. I will talk about them in depth during our Avenged Sevenfold review, which I'm sure will take up a lot of this podcast because we're both massive fans.
Solid 3 hours of the podcast, I think.
It's meant to be an hour-long podcast. We'll make it a bit longer for Avenged Sevenfold,
obviously.
Most of
it will just be Alex screaming, "Ah!" to every time Avenged Sevenfold gets mentioned.
I love Avenged Sevenfold. I have a tattoo of them. They're
you told
the best
PR
band.
That, didn't you?
I got to meet their PR person. I sadly couldn't meet them because they were booked solid for interviews. But I met their PR lady. She's also coincidentally Metallica's PR lady, which I think is amazing, and it's such a great opportunity. But yeah, she let them know that there's just a random fan with a massive death bat on her.
I just like how there's a sweet old lady that's the PR for
she's just
these two,
the loveliest lady. And she, like you said, does these two massive metal
bands. But she's so lovely and sweet. You'd look at her and just think, oh, she's another old lady. But no.
She saw me wearing an Avenged Sevenfold hoodie and just go, oh, you like my boys. She's so lovely. If she by any chance is listening to this, thank you so much. You were great. So let's just get into what we'll be covering in this podcast. Because this intro is getting quite out of hand at this point.
Yeah, sorry. We just had a lot to talk about.
So we'll have some band interviews. We'll have some reviews, obviously. And we'll be interviewing, like I said, we'll have...
Dead?
Oh, we'll have Dead, which were absolutely lovely. We'll
are,
have...
are we going through what bands we have?
Yeah.
Okay. Interview Dead, Blackstone Cherry. Oh, who was the...
Hell Is For Heroes, which are Heroes. A UK band, which currently came back from hiatus late last year and have been touring ever since. And they're also... all of the bands we interviewed were absolutely lovely. And they were just very sweet. And I got to talk about pizza with Dead, which... a great interview question, in my opinion.
Scary looking contacts.
They did look scary, but they were absolutely lovely.
Yeah, some of the nicest guys.
And then we'll be just covering some artists from different stages, so stay tuned to that. Start off, we have an interview with Blackstone Cherry's bassist, and we get to talk about how he thinks UK festivals differ from US ones in what he thinks of the weather this time around, and he was quite shocked with it, but he was absolutely lovely, like all the people we got to interview, and I'm very thankful that he gave us the time of his day.
It's pretty good. It's not pouring down rain, so that's a positive thing.
Shocking as well.
Yeah, last we were here 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's what
I never knew that was the name for it, but yes, yeah. We were there.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, we played on the Sunday. We were on a tour, a European thing, so I think we arrived really late on the Saturday. And then we just kind of saw what 3 days of rain looks like, and then the whole Sunday was the same thing.
Shockingly enough, it only happens. It's only this heavy when download happens. It's usually not this bad.
Yeah, that's what people say. I feel like after what happened 2 years ago, I just prepare for it being like that all the time, and then I can't be disappointed.
I mean, that's a good way to operate.
Yeah, I'd rather go that way, and then it's nice, and I'm feel good about it.
I mean, at least it's not raining right now.
That is true.
Because it's going to start raining every night. It starts raining.
Some people are saying that that was the end of it. It's supposed to get nice now.
I mean, let's hope so.
I mean, I don't believe the forecast.
So, how do you structure your set list for downloads as opposed to
much hair last night?
Well, it's definitely a short set. I think everybody, unless you're playing near the end of the day, your sets are pretty short. So you really got to use the time as best you can. Like, so we want to play some hits that everybody knows.
Yeah.
We have a new album being released in September, so we want to play a bunch of new songs off that. So we're going to play a few old bangers that everybody know, and then a bunch of new ones.
So coming to a UK festival, is it different from any other festivals around the world?
Absolutely. You guys, like, the rock culture here is way better than it is in North America. There's like, just people are more dedicated. That's like there's more people, the scale of it's bigger. There's some pretty big ones in America that seem to be doing really well, but nothing touches this, you know? I mean, the German and European ones are pretty big and awesome too. But yeah, we love coming here because it just makes our North American stuff look like child's play.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Right then, so obviously first day of the bands, Friday. It was obviously, we had the 2 days of fun, but finally the Friday came.
It was time for business.
It was time to get down.
It was time for even more fun, actually.
So, the first band we got to see were Cancer Bats in the tent stage.
Avalanche stage, hosted by Kerrang. Which is quite a small stage.
For saying it's a small stage, and that's where kind of the more obscure bands go, they attracted quite a big crowd.
They were absolutely great. I mean, I think a lot of people were there waiting for Bad Religion, which are obviously legends of punks.
But even still, you know...
they did start a lot...
so many people were singing along, there was a lot of mosh pits, everyone was just having a good time.
They did have amazing crowd interaction, and we couldn't stay for their entire set because we were trying to go and catch Jonathan Davis on the Zippo Encore stage. But from what we got to see, they were amazing. They were very heavy. and they had some really good mosh pits going. A lot of crowd killing pits as well.
And the band as a whole, you know, they really do sound, you know, it's not one of those bands that once you hear live, you're a bit, oh, that's a bit disappointing. You know, they're very good live.
I think that was, for most bands, that is something that I didn't expect, because obviously a lot of bands don't sound good at festivals, but this year most of the bands we saw sounded amazing.
Mm.
And I think some of the bands, especially Shinedown, which we'll be talking about later, I think they sound better live than they did on their albums. So moving swiftly on, we got to see the end of Andrew WK as we were waiting to see Jonathan Davis. I wasn't actually quite a big fan before I saw him, but he does seem like a lot of fun.
I don't think I ever really listened to any of his stuff. I knew of him. I never really, you know, gave him a light of day. Not out of, you know, any sort of not wanting to, just never really thought about it. But from what we saw of him, he was, you know, you say he was really lively. The crowd seemed to be really into it. He played a song,
We Want Fun. That's the only song by him I know. I had a lot of fun listening to that. But then when Jonathan Davis came on, I am a massive Korn fan. I think most people in the scene are.
Yeah, I think Korn's one of the intro bands.
Didn't know quite what to expect from Jonathan Davis, as his solo projects are usually like quite mellow compared to Korn.
So I've never really followed any of his solo stuff. It is quite a big change, I'd say. But obviously, it still kind of has the same feel in a way for it to be played at Download. But like I say, his vocals are very clean, and it was a very like a melancholic kind of feel. It was very, you know, just you drifted with it. It was so nice, and
it was very, it was a lot more calming than you expect from Download. But it's still rock and roll at its core. But because of the way Jonathan Davis does his art, like we've seen with recent Korn albums, he goes like very in depth and just takes the music apart and strips it down a little bit. I think he did absolutely amazing with that. And it wasn't, as he was third down from the bill, so he was followed by Hell Is For Heroes, which we have an interview with coming up, and Yumi at 6. He had quite a long set, and I was very pleasantly surprised with it.
Was on for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah. I think, obviously, Jonathan Davis has an amazing voice, and I think his set was a 4 out of 5. I think I just love Korn a bit too much and was just kind of missing every Korn song to give it a 5 out of 5.
So I think when, you know, I don't know why, obviously, you know, completely different to Korn. I was expecting it to be a bit more, you know, have more of an oomph than what it was. But I didn't find myself bored at all. I thought it was still fun to watch. And like I said, it wasn't out of place at Download. It was just enjoyable to watch, really. Enjoyable.
And then we finally moved on to the main stage, where we got to see the beginning and, of course, the end for Bullet For My Valentine, as we were trying to subtly get to the front for Avenged Sevenfold. Well, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I know nothing about Bullet For My Valentine other than they have this song about tears not falling.
And that's really the main...
That song about the battle.
That song about the battle.
You Want a Battle, Here's a War is a song. Right. It's from their most recent album. Not the one that's coming out, the last one they put out. It's a good song, but all of my friends were very disappointed in me as every song they play. I'm like, what's that?
I think there was 3, actually, that you recognised.
No, I was told I had to recognise one called Your Betrayal. I've never heard this song in my life.
Yeah, of course you had to recognise that.
But Bullet For My Valentine were very good.
I think they're a good support for Avenged.
And they're all friends, so I'm just happy that they're hanging out together. But no, it was again an hour and a half set, which is very good, a Download.
Mm.
And obviously they're supporting Avenged, they're friends. They did things
They did things.
I think that Bullet from a Valentine compared to Avenged Sevenfold that followed him, they got lost because they just weren't as loud and as good as they could have been. Because I've heard other live performances of Bullet from a Valentine, and I think a couple of bands this year had some technical issues because they didn't have enough time to set up. I think Bullet from a Valentine suffered from that enough. But they really made up in stage presence, and obviously their crowd interaction was amazing. There was, again, some massive mosh pits, some of which we actually got to go into.
Yeah, there was a big one. Although we did use a couple of them to try and further our position
as a way
to the barrier.
For someone that was in there, a way to describe the Bullet from a Valentine's mosh pit is kind of like leveling up in video games, because there's a small one, then you get past that, there's a bigger one, you get into that, you get pushed to the end, and then there's this massive pit in the middle with hundreds of people.
I think it intimidated you a little bit.
I mean, I was a bit scared. That was your first experience
with a big mosh pit, wasn't it?
Yeah, the only mosh pits I've been were in the doghouse tent and various clubs around Leicester.
Which don't count.
Yeah, no, they really don't. Especially compared to download pits. So I was just kind of hiding behind all of my friends and letting them go front and running. But they did play, again, they played some really famous bangers.
They played the most popular. They know what's popular. They know what songs will work, what will get the most reaction. And
the way people sang along to Tears Don't Fall was amazing, because as soon as that song started, everyone was on it. It's like
including you, and that was the only one you joined in on.
That's the only one I know. It's on all of my emo playlists. So I loved it.
However, as good as they were, and as disappointing Alex as we were, it was time.
No one beats Avenged.
Bullet from a Valentine to leave the stage.
There was a hefty gap between.
There was a bit of a hefty gap.
I feel
gap.
Like that
but
was a
that's
long
probably because Avenged, they upped the ante with their download stage setup. They've got more room to play.
They have the most amazing stage setup so far
it's
by
so
them
cool.
that I've seen. And
when they headlined 2014, they had this massive skeleton king on a throne with a giant sword, and it's just, you just look at it and go, I want that and then you think, how can they top that?
And they did.
I think they did.
I think a lot of people were expecting it to just be the big screens just playing their music
and
video.
And with the stage, they have that big...
they have a massive
cube
that moves.
For some reason.
But we've seen them, obviously, on just
them,
the stage world tour.
On the stage
where the cube moves and a zombie deathbat astronaut comes out. It's you have to see it to believe it, really.
It's weird, but it's also, you sit there and you go, that's really cool.
So obviously, for most fans, they just think it's just screens behind them, the way it's set up.
Mm.
But halfway through their set, is it a king skeleton
it's like
appears?
A zombie king. Well, it's got a crown on it. It's like it's crawling out from behind
which
the
is
stage.
A callback to their last album, Hail to the King.
A massive inflatable zombie thing, just kind of appears.
And just as people think, like, okay, they've got their big toy out now, that's it. It goes back in, and the astronaut, which is obviously for the new album, the stage, comes out. And it's really interesting the way it changes so quickly in between songs.
It's seamless. You don't notice it, really.
Until
you just look at it. You're like, oh, that's there now.
So let's talk a bit about their set list.
So, again, you've got the set list ready.
I'm prepared.
How long was the set?
It was a 16... song set.
I thought it was a 16-hour set.
I wish it was 16 hours. I'm probably the only person that would sit through Avenged Sevenfold playing
I'd
their entire discography.
That.
Sounding the seven trumpet as well?
Yeah.
Okay, you're the only other person that I know that would say this.
The seventh trumpet.
But they always have a song they go into. This time it was Back in Black.
Mm.
Which, on the stage tour, it was Space Oddity by David Bowie. They changed up with a bit of AC/DC, because obviously they're back, they're headlining Download, they're amazing.
Mm.
And then they open up.
I think we should talk about that quickly, sorry. This is the second time they've headlined Download. And
it is very recent.
People were kind of
mad.
I wouldn't say mad, they were a bit apprehensive, because obviously 2014, the first time, people weren't sure if they were ready, if Avenged Sevenfold were big enough to take that leap to headline such a big festival. And I think 2014, they really did own it, but people still think they could have gone bigger and better. So the second time round, it just, as soon as they started individually coming on stage, that even just felt more like they knew what they were doing. They knew what they were going to do.
Right. For people to... It's not... They're not like normal bands. They don't just all come on stage and it's like, yeah, let's just play songs now. Avenged, especially since they brought up their new album, have a very, very structured way of coming on stage, in my opinion. Because the stage, their opening song, starts with this monster of a guitar solo that reminds me of Critical Acclaim.
Yeah.
Because that was their old opening song. They always have this monster of a guitar solo that lead guitarist Sinister Gates. He always comes out first.
He's a god with a guitar.
Then he gets joined by the rhythm guitar, so Zachy Vengeance comes out after him and adds just that extra oomph. Obviously, their drummer Brooks is already on stage, but he kicks in with the drums, and then Johnny, their bassist, adds like even more power into the performance. And as soon as M Shadows enters, everyone goes silent.
He doesn't even... It's not just like he enters. He glides on stage, stands as close as to the crowd as he can get, spreads his arms, shouts something inspirational and amazing, and then everyone just wants more. It's so good.
M Shadows is one hell of a frontman.
He's a great frontman. I mean, from interacting with the crowd, to his vocals, to his energy, it's just everything about M Shadows.
I feel like you're a little bit in love with M Shadows, I'm not gonna lie. I am in love with
M Shadows.
It's alright.
And you like Zelda.
He likes video games, and he's lovely. Then we have... They just go straight into, like, old school favourites. They go into Afterlife and Hail to the King and Welcome to the Family. And I love all of these songs. And they did it so well, and everyone just singing along to them is absolutely amazing.
All of the members, they just... It's so seamless. Like, the transition between songs, the little bits in between where they're talking and just having a laugh, and the way they introduce some of the songs is just so funny.
They're a funny band. You can tell they're enjoying it. They're great, it's so seamless the way they play. I don't know how Sinister Gates makes it look like playing these complex fast solos. He makes it seem so easy. He doesn't even look at his guitar when he plays it.
He just kind of looks around going, yeah, I'm just, you know, just a guy playing my guitar. What are you going to do about it?
Then they moved on to one of their newest singles, Goddamn. Goddamn. Amazing song. And I think that's one of the ones that gets the crowd going. And it's such a quick, fast, and just crazy song. And then M Shadows have a very interesting way of bringing it back down and going into Buried Alive, which is from Nightmare, one of their slowest songs. One of my personal favourite songs. And the way, like, his voice goes, it's just, like, he has you captivated.
Yeah.
And then the end of Buried Alive, as you know, goes quite quick. It picks the pace back up.
Yeah.
And it has this, like...
It's like a stomping kind of...
It just gets your blood pumping.
He gets everybody involved.
And then one of my personal favourite moments of the entire set, one of the most heartwarming moments, is the tribute to their old drummer, The Rev, who sadly passed away in 2008.
It was 2009, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. That was my bad.
You got that wrong. Fake fan.
I know it was 2009. But it's just Jimmy, an old interview of Jimmy talking about his bandmates, and it's so touching.
Because before, they just kind of introduced it. But this time, I think they've been doing this at other big, big shows, or just the big festivals. It's been
part of their festival run.
They just put on this black and white interview of Jimmy basically just talking about how much he loves the band and how much he... Don't cry. How much he just likes spending time with his bandmates. And it's such a heartwarming thing to see. And then all of them walk on stage together and just plays this amazing, beautiful song.
So Far Away had me in tears. I sobbed the entire time they were playing this song, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, because it's so, so beautiful, and just, I'm crying. And then M Shadows has the audacity to announce Nightmare, which is the quickest, the funnest song, even though it's quite dark, it's one of the most fun songs to see live. I'm just there sobbing. It's like, what do you mean you want me to sing along now? I'm crying. And then you just have to start headbanging and just throwing horns.
We have to kind of talk about the oopsie. So, Avenged had their pyro.
Oh, God. They did. Beautiful pyro.
Good pyro. Very intense. Very warm. Very warm.
The stage caught on fire a little bit.
The stage caught, yeah. One of the pyro-y bits managed to catch some of the stage on fire. And some guys had to run out with fire extinguishers. So that was good.
That was amazing. After Nightmare, Avenged come back with one of their older hits, Eternal Rest, which I'm shocked that M Shadows can still sing, because it's quite a screamy song.
It just proves how much of an awesome and talented vocalist he is.
This is now has turned to the M Shadows fan club hour. It's a meeting.
I will run that. I will be president of that club.
And my... Right, the next part of the set was my absolute favourite. It was my favourite song ever. They played it live for the first time since 2011. It's called MIA. It's from City of Evil. It's the best song. Ever.
When we were in the press tent getting interviews with bands, we could hear them doing their sound check, and they sound checked MIA.
And now,
we're sat there, you know, trying to prep up all of our equipment, and all of a sudden, Alex looks at me and goes, "It's MIA!"
I had a moment. I think I'm so glad it was that early morning. Not all of the journalists were there, so I was just kind of in a corner, just being like, oh my god, they're going to play MIA. I need to prepare myself mentally for that. I didn't. I still cried.
Can we just talk about, even in soundcheck, M Shadows sounds amazing.
He's been ill this entire tour run, which is something he addressed on Avenged Sevenfold's fan site, and I cannot tell, because he sounds that good. But I don't know how he can sound this good whilst extremely ill, because he's been having some chest infections recently, which obviously, when you're a singer, is very scary and awful, but he's been powering through all of that.
His main focus is, you've paid a lot of money to come see us, we're going to put on a good show. That's always kind of been his philosophy, hasn't it, really? It's like, we recognise we're a bigger band, so... We don't want you to spend, even if you're seeing us, just as headlining a show. We don't want you to spend all that money to just see us play. We want to put on a show. We want to make sure you can walk away and going, that was money well spent. Which, in all fairness, if eventually everyone just sat in a room and ate chicken nuggets for half an hour, I think that's money well spent.
I would still spend money to see that.
I'd still spend 50 quid for that.
I would spend a lot of money to just see Avenged Sevenfold do nothing. Just be in the same room.
Staring at each other.
Then we had a cover. We had Wish You Were Here.
Oh, that cover.
Which M Shadows, before they started playing the song, beautiful. He had a beautiful tribute. He talked about mental health. And then he dedicated it to a celebrity chef, Anthony Bourdain, that died that day. And I think it was such a lovely touch. And they just kicked into this beautiful Pink Floyd cover. Which is a bit scary, because Guns N' Roses do the exact same guitar cover. They don't do the vocals, but they do the same song. And I think,
which we will get into.
I think that was very, very brave of them. And personally, I think they did a bit better than Guns N' Roses. Yeah. And I'm also a massive Guns N' Roses fan.
They had their own little style where it wasn't... Obviously, it's not going to be a direct try and mimic it, but... Yeah. It was sang so beautifully, and like I said, Sinister's guitar accompanying it was just, it's just so nice. It was just such a lovely, lovely tribute and cover.
And then they picked the pace back up with Backcountry, which is always such a fun song live. Everyone knows the lyrics to Backcountry.
I think that was the biggest reaction song.
I think one of the songs we'll get into a bit later is one of that.
Yeah, actually.
But then they went off stage, had the little, we've gone now, pretend moment.
I don't get why bands do that.
It's an encore. They have to do it, obviously.
Yeah, but
it's
they know they're coming back. I'd rather them just, like, stay on stage for, like, the 5 minutes that they go and you could squeeze another song in.
They did a song, well, recently, they've been playing Critical Acclaim as part of the encore. I'm not going to lie, when they didn't, I was very disappointed.
Yeah, I was a bit good. I love Critical Acclaim.
They did a very famous song from Hail to the King. They did Shepherd of Fire, which
is kind of a flip because that's what they used to open with.
They used to open with Critical Acclaim as well.
2014 download, they opened with Shepherd of Fire.
That's interesting. But yeah, I love Shepherd of Fire.
To kind of
but
play
it's not Critical Acclaim. It's a good song, but it's not Critical Acclaim.
I do enjoy it. It's not my favourite song.
It's a fun song, and obviously in the UK recently they released a tribute album, and the first single of the tribute album was Fozzy covering Shepherd of Fire. So I see why they did it, but it wasn't Critical Acclaim, and I'll always hold that against them because I've still not seen Critical Acclaim live.
But, and this is where the kind of funny... He always does a funny intro, Matt does, to this song. Was a little piece of heaven.
I'm not sure how much of the intro we can talk about.
You've got to be careful with how we address it. The song is about
death and love.
Death and love.
And loving death.
Yeah.
And love in death. And it's a very...
And loving death a bit too literally.
It's a very funny song.
It wasn't a serious song and they knew that.
And I always find it a bit emotional because it is such a fun song, but it is a masterpiece written by the Rev, and the Rev came up with this crazy masterpiece.
It was just a little melody that he had just stuck in his head, and then he played it on the piano, and he would just kind of piece the song from there.
And it turned into an 8-minute monstrosity.
They've got a video of it being created, which you should go ahead and watch. But just the way Matt introduces the song, it takes about 5 minutes of him just
introducing the song.
Introducing the song in a funny way, but I can't really say
and
much.
And everyone, everyone knows when it's coming, and everyone, just the first melody, you can hear the whole crowd just humming the melody along.
Yeah.
And Sinister Gates is on guitar, doing the
pretending to be the,
conductor.
Yeah.
And it's such a fun song, and I always get sad when it ends because I know that's the end of
it. The chorus is my favourite bit of that song. I love how he sings it. I love the little melody. Oh, I could just start repeating.
I always get sad when bands end their sets, especially when they're Avenged Sevenfold. So I had a bit of a moment, and they're playing Unholy Confessions, which is such an emotional, let's say, song. It's very angry and very sad and very typical emo Avenged Sevenfold song.
Yeah.
I always find myself, whenever the lyric is, I know it's hurting you, but it's killing me, it's just me crying and screaming at them because it is killing me, they're leaving. And after such an amazing set, I was just a wreck.
Yeah, your makeup was running a little bit in the eye department.
I didn't have any makeup left. But... So, I think Avenged Sevenfold are my highlight of the entire weekend.
Yeah.
I think they were amazing. Great band to start the weekend off with.
I think, yeah, especially because, you know, out of the two headliners, they are...
The smallest band,
which is saying something, because they are massive now. They're such a big band.
They were so much fun.
But, and again, we both might be being a little biased, but in terms of stage presence, crowd interaction... How clean they sounded, their stage setup, everything about it was just amazing. Just absolutely amazing. And I could watch that show so many more times, just the exact same, and I would not get any more bored of it.
I would watch them every night for the rest of my life, do this show.
I wish they had more inflatable things.
I... I just like the Fire. I like Avenged Sevenfold. They're amazing. 10 out of 10.
Did you catch when M ran off stage, no one noticed, and he came back with like a denim vest on?
Yeah, I noticed.
And he went from
He
came on in a red like plaid shirt.
Which is his signature outfit.
Halfway
now.
Through, just came in a denim vest.
It's how he switches outfits. I love him.
I don't get why they switch outfits.
Because bands do that.
Is it a cool thing? I might start
yes,
doing that.
Don't do that. You're not in a band.
Every
you're not
5 minutes
cool.
At work.
And next up, we're going to have a quick interview with Hell Is For Heroes and what it's like being back at festivals after an almost 5-year hiatus.
Now, we could talk hours about Avenged.
Yeah, Avenged are great, and we'll cover the rest of the set in just a second.
Yeah, but the industry has changed.
Yeah.
How have you guys changed with it?
So we made 3 records, and I guess each of them has its own sound. But we've coming back after all this time, I think we connected with the songs, maybe in a way that we didn't the first time.
Yeah.
It does feel a bit different,
yes.
You know, and it still feels weird and fresh.
So, when you're playing a festival like that, how do you get your set list to match the crowd? As in, it's not crowd, it's just there to see you, it's there to see so many other bands as well. Do you change your set list, or do you kind of keep it the same as where it is with you on show?
Well, you know, yeah, the last tour we did was a celebration of our first day, and so we just played that all the way through, so makes quite a set list quite easy. But yeah, this is the first time we've actually had a written set list. You know, had to kind of think about that in a very long time, really, as opposed to 15 years. But we didn't really overthink it, you know, we just kind of played, chose to play the best, and then we just kind of put it in a sensible order, you know, it kind of flow nicely, and overthinking or anything, you know, it's, I suppose the crowd pleases, as you might call them, would be probably the easiest songs to play anyways, you know, the ones that we've played for years, so it's a no-brainer.
So has the festival scene changed in the last 15 years?
You stand in the fields, that's all it is.
It's still the same, but
it's the same.
Yeah. It's slightly better.
Indeed, it is slightly better. And the showers have got better as well. But
that's good.
Is that a progress?
Indeed, but you know, I think the overriding thing of it all, the festival experience, is it is just standing in a damn field. There's loads of nice bands playing. People are just there to enjoy themselves, right? You know, they're just here for weekends to do whatever they want and check out bands. That's great. That's festivals are hot. Awesome. It's a great idea, invention, whatever you want to call it.
Everyone's here to make memories, right? So it's like there's a sense in which any festival you play, you're part of some kind of history.
So since you guys are talking about the different bands, who would you like to see this weekend? Are you staying after you play? Are you seeing anyone else?
No, we've all got to get back to the family, back to the daily routine. Tomorrow, yeah, we're going to stay in the party tonight, but I'll check out Bad Religion, they're playing just after us, it's a band that I've loved, it's one of the best bands I've ever got into, you know, testament to them for still being a band, you know, 5 years or whatever they've been doing it for, so, you know, fair play to them, that's worth celebrating, so I'll check them out, but there's loads of good bands, you know, it's so much variety, you know, it's awesome.
If you guys were to put up your own festival, what would your dream lineup be?
I think it'd just be us.
just you all weekend round,
I think,
every night.
I think if the five of us had the option to pick bands for a festival, it would probably be the worst festival ever. There'd only be about 3 people attending, because it would range from funk to metal to folk.
Nightmare.
Yeah, it would be a little bit too eclectic.
Or you'll get so many people because of all the different bands and different genres.
Maybe.
Most of those bands only have about 3 fans each.
You get a solid 15 people.
Yeah, you know, we'd enjoy it. Well, I'm not even sure we would enjoy it, if I'm honest. Yeah, but there we go, yeah. We're not the people to ask, right? Yeah. We just got on a rock show, that's yeah. Thank you, Rapist. No, not at all.
Right, and that was Hell Is For Heroes, who we interviewed. Bunch of lovely guys, really.
Yeah, they were. All the bands we interviewed were lovely.
Yeah. They were alright, weren't they?
Yeah. So, are you ready to talk about Saturday and the bands that played?
Good day. I wonder what big band played Saturday.
I mean, you spent most of it on
the
main stage.
I spent all day on the main stage. You saw the first act of the day, which was actually Duff from Guns N' Roses' daughter's band.
I was actually doing work, so I couldn't.
The Pink Slips.
I actually got to meet her.
Did you meet her?
Well, by meet, I mean I got,
you got to
look
at her
and
from
she
a distance.
Smiled at me when I smiled.
Did
at
she
her.
Smile at you or your general direction?
No, I just walked past her as I was getting water in Stalking Ask Alexandria, and she smiled at me, and she's very pretty. She's lovely. I like to think that I've met her now.
You didn't meet her, that doesn't count.
Definitely met
but anyway,
her now.
Whilst you were working, like I said, I got to see the Pink Slips. Basically everyone who played on main stage that day. Pink Slips were okay. You know, it's not really the kind of music that I'd be into. They're just like a little kind of punk rock kind of thing going on. But no, it's still enjoyable.
What about the Struts? Because I've heard that they're alright.
Oh, the Struts. I'd never heard of them before Download. And I wasn't really sure. It was one of those bands that whilst waiting for Guns N' Roses, we were like, oh, I don't want it to be just a rubbish filler band. I really hope it's not. And then at this point, my feet were aching. And so I sat down.
I mean, they are fourth down.
They came on, and the guy's voice, I don't know his name, but the singer's voice, it is amazing live. Like, it's very clean. And I looked at him, and he dresses like an old glam rock kind of.
I mean, the Struts do have a very glam rock feel to them.
His voice as well, the way he sang, it was like Freddie Mercury meets Michael Jackson. It was really good. I enjoyed it a lot more than I was expecting. I'm not going to lie. His stage presence and crowd interaction, it was so alive. Like, once he came on, everyone kind of felt his energy. Mm. Like I said, everyone throughout the day was great, but I think personality-wise, I think he was the best that day.
Well, okay, wow, right. Guns N' Roses.
No, I mean, in terms of, like,
not Guns N' Roses.
In terms of, like, his energy and jumping around and talking to people and just having a good time, he really felt like he just, that's where he wanted to be, that's all he cared about.
Well, whilst you were just waiting around and I was doing work, I actually got to see Ask Alexandria.
Oh, here we
which
go.
I really like Ask Alexandria. I love them with all my heart. And they're great. I've seen them live many a times. And usually they're four.
Oh, sorry, four.
Usually they've been good. Not the first time I saw them, because they were with their old vocalist, which was alright. He was
lip-syncing. Don't be bitter. You liked him once.
But yeah, Ask Alexandria are a very good band. And they've done really well before. And I've seen them live, again, a few times. But oh my god, did they disappoint me at Download. I say this as they've been my favourite band, not Avenged level, but I love them. They were my first concert, and they didn't do great. They didn't play any of their most well-known songs. No, they played Run Free and The Death of Me. Nothing else that's well-known, and it's just so disappointing, because I know they can get the whole crowd going with them songs, and they didn't. They just played new material in new material and just so much new things.
They did, you know, on their set list, it was planned to play a couple of older songs, but they were kind of forced to cut it short. No, it was planned
to play the one and only, like, the final episode, their most well-known song. And if they knew their set was being cut short, because that song was in the middle of their set, if they knew they had to cut a song out, I don't understand why it had to be the final episode. I think it should have been a newer song that nobody knows.
Maybe it was just a case of it happened last minute, and obviously they already had their sound and set up and all the backing tracks set up. So maybe, I don't know. There must have been a reason.
It's not at the end of the set, so I don't see a reason. It's literally the maybe fourth song down. I don't see. Dan either forgot it or something like that. But just, it makes. They could have done so much better, and it was just so disappointing. Seeing their crowd and just how people, like, maybe the first like six rows of people were like into it, and the rest just didn't care. Yes, there were mosh pits, but it's Download. There's mosh pits everywhere, and Asking were really the only band that disappointed me.
Yeah, which is a shame, because, like I said, it's like, fair enough, they want to promote their new album. Fair enough, everyone's going to want to promote a new album, but I guess. If you're going there not to see them, because who was headlining that stage?
It was Baby Metal and then Parkway Drive after.
So, you know, most people are probably there for Parkway Drive and don't really know who Ask Alexandria are.
Ask Alexandria have opened for Parkway Drive before. They did a tour recently. But they still didn't. Like, they could have brought out so many songs and they didn't. And they the songs that they did play sounded amazing. But. It just didn't work out. But, yeah, they closed out alright with Alone in a Room, their newest single. And it sounded well. It sounded really good. But it wasn't as fun as it could have been.
Hmm.
And they were literally the only band that disappointed me. Because
all of their own shows are very... You could tell it's their show.
Yeah. And it felt... weird. Their banners were a lot different than what we're used to. I don't know how to feel about
this. This was the first time being back at Download for how long?
5 years?
Quite a few years, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think people are expecting more from, you know, from such a triumphant return. But you know, it was fun, but could have been better. Could have been better.
Yeah, and then I finally got to move on to
the main stage where
you waited all day.
I waited all day for Barrier, which we got.
I got that.
And then Alex managed to find us in the crowd of
130,000 people.
No, it was about. I imagine it would have been like close. Not 130,000, just 100.
At the end of it, it was a lot.
But you got there just before Blackstone Cherry came
on. Yeah, I got there once.
So it was a big crowd. Yeah. And you still managed to find us, which was a bit annoying. But, yeah.
Blackstone Cherry were amazing. I think they did really well.
Yeah, they were a band that I've heard of. I'd never listened to any of the music. I didn't know what they looked like. I knew nothing about them. I just heard of them.
And at the beginning of this podcast, you got to listen to an interview with one of them.
Yeah, the bassist. And he was nice. But I recognised one song. It was the Blame It on the Boom Boom. And I didn't realise that was by them. I had no idea. But since seeing them live, I have started listening to them more. I do generally enjoy their music.
They are a very fun band to listen to.
Very clean vocalist live, again.
I'm always impressed when a vocalist sounds that clean live.
Yeah.
And later on, when we're talking about Sunday, I echo this with talking about Shinedown, because he sounds really good live as yeah. well.
And I think it's a bit cheeky as well. The singer is also the lead guitarist. Like, how much attention does he want?
He's a really good guitarist.
He's good at both. He's good at both.
He's just a very talented man.
But their stage setup, it was very... Because they just released a new album, and their stage setup was kind of like to mimic the artwork on their album. You know, it was all very 60s and hippie, which, like I said, I didn't know who they were. So when I saw that setup, like, is it just going to be a bunch of old guys who
just grew up in the 60s?
And yeah, but when they came on and they played, so good. They really get you hyped for Guns N' Roses.
And they have some really good songs, like Me and Mary Jane is my personal favorite, and it's just so fun live, like, because he gets the crowd interaction and everyone just gets so happy and excited.
Yeah, the energy, I don't know if it's because, you know, people knew Guns N' Roses were coming, but
no, I think it's all to Blackstone Cherry, because they were really fun.
They were fun. And then, of course, Guns N' Roses, who I think over the whole weekend were just the biggest band. And I mean, no disrespect to Avenged Sevenfold or Ozzy.
Their font is the biggest but on the poster, I have to say.
It's Guns N' Roses. I mean, so many, and we were speaking to a few people whilst I was waiting, so many people just got the day tickets just to come and see them.
And you could tell the arena was just absolutely, it was packed, rammed.
I mean, obviously it's going to be anyway. I mean,
it was for Avenged.
There's like 100,000 people there anyway, but the Saturday,
if I feel like there was 30,000 people on top of the normal.
Yeah, there was a fair few. But they came on. They had a cool, like, video
intro. Yeah.
Intro. In between, like, setting up, which was cool. It was of, like, a tank and zombies. It was, like, a personalised Donington Download one, because, you know, they're back playing it after so long. Which was really cool to watch. It was entertaining to watch. Made me want the tank. I did want the tank that was in it.
It was a cool intro. Again, I think the Avenged Sevenfold setup, personally, was a bit more interesting.
Yeah, the stage set up for Guns N' Roses, it was just a big walkway, really, and there seemed to be like a lot of little hideaways for Axl to kind of run into and get changed.
He had a lot of outfits.
Yeah, he likes clothes, doesn't he?
He also really likes tassels, I found out.
Nothing wrong with tassels.
I mean, they were excessive tassels.
But obviously, as soon as they did come on, you would never hear a scream from the crowd like it. I mean, you could tell. It was just, that's who people were there to see.
Oh my god, we're making history, because this is the first time Guns N' Roses have been there in 30 years. The first time they've played Donington in so long. And it was just, this is.
So, 3.5 hour set.
Only a little bit excessive, that one.
Only a little. I mean,
I enjoyed it. It went by really quick. I only have one problem with it.
Go on.
The Wish You Were Here cover that obviously Sevenfold did the night before.
Yeah. And again, like we said earlier about Avenged, their cover, obviously both bands were going to put their own spin on it. You know, you can't just do an exact replica of the original one. But our problem, I think, and I think a lot of people's kind of confusion with Guns N' Roses' version was,
it's just instrumental.
It's an instrumental. So when it came on and Slash comes out with his acoustic guitar, no one was really singing along. Axl walks off stage. Axl went off stage at this point, so, you know, obviously he wasn't singing, obviously. No one was singing along. And I think I did anyway, but I imagine other people did as well. Everyone just assumed it was kind of like another Slash solo, just on an acoustic
until
guitar.
Until you got to the chorus.
Until you get to the chorus and you can kind of recognise it. And that's when people started singing. And personally, and I'm trying to remain unbiased, being an Avenged fanboy, but I think Avenged did it so much better.
It's because there's the lyrics there.
You knew what they were doing.
Sing along.
But I think three of the 3.5 hour set, obviously, at least an hour, 45 minutes, surely, was just solos.
It wasn't even just Slash solos. The Richard, the other guitarist, also had some solos, but then Slash had one right after.
Yeah, he was kind of like the warm-up for Slash's solos.
Yeah, but he did all right.
No, he did good. He's a good guitarist. You could tell that, you know, the chemistry between them all is just amazing.
It's there, yeah.
My problem was that for such a big band and all the hype around Guns N' Roses headlining, I kind of felt like, in their eyes, they were just there to play a show. It wasn't anything special, which I think when you've been Guns N' Roses and you've played the shows you have, you've done the things you've done that they have, you will kind of feel like that. But for saying that they haven't played Donington in 30 years, and it was such a big anticipated thing, I was really hoping that Axel would just
talk to us.
And you know, he had his occasional little bits.
He's never
been
that much of a talker, especially in recent years. He's not been saying.
I just felt a little bit like all it was a show. There wasn't anything. I didn't feel like I was a part of it, really. I just kind of felt that I was there.
You're just watching it.
Yeah, which don't get me wrong. I loved it. It was amazing seeing them. But I kept expecting them to kind of
be like, yeah,
be more excited that they were at Download.
Yeah.
And we were all there for them.
And them obviously hearing, oh, they left in a helicopter straight after. It just makes it a bit more impersonal.
Yeah.
But they are the biggest band.
I say that, yeah, the minute they're, especially what with Slash and Duff coming back, it is that they are back to being the biggest, most sought out to see band. So I guess, like I said, you do kind of get that feeling of, oh, it's another show. Nothing special. Let's just play it. Let's make it good. Finished. But Axel's vocals, which I was actually quite surprised, because you know, watching live videos of him recently, I'm not expecting him to sing like how he used to. You know.
He sounded amazing, in my opinion.
But he does. He can still hit the high notes. He can still get that. I don't want to do impersonation. I embarrass myself. But he can, you know, he's still got that high-pitched, screaming, singing voice. You know, he can still
do
it.
He can do it. He can do it.
I think he struggles a bit now, because most of the songs where it has that high pitch, he will sing it in his lower.
Yeah, but then
I guess, you know, he doesn't want to ruin his voice.
Yeah, but Appetite for Destruction came out 30 years ago, yeah. So I can forgive him for not hitting all the notes.
But he still was amazing. And then obviously, the piano. When the piano sounds come on, Axel plays it. It just rises up out of the stage. It's a very dramatic piano entrance. And his seat is the back end of a bike, which is just cool.
It was a very fun set. It looked good. It was Guns N' Roses. It was just, it's making
it's everything you wanted to.
Really.
And like I said, it's one of those bands that, whilst you can see them, you have to see them.
And you've seen them.
You know, what better place than Download, I think, where you've got 100,000 people enjoying it with you. You know, for us especially, we've had the whole weekend of just amazingness, and then Saturday, you've got Guns N' Roses. It's just, it's such a good feeling once you have seen them. You can then walk away and go, I've seen Guns N' Roses.
And I have been saying that to people, just randomly in the streets, like, you know what, I've seen Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, it's really weird when we're in town.
Yeah, I know.
But then, unfortunately, everything does have to kind of come to an end. And they ended big. They ended their encore. They had six
songs, yeah.
Six songs for their encore.
Ending with the giant that's Paradise City. Everyone knows and everyone loves.
Which, yeah. I mean, everyone was singing to every song, but
Paradise City and Welcome to the Jungle, I find.
And Sweet Child.
Obviously, Welcome to the Jungle. Yeah. And again, there was confetti and fireworks. It was such a big
so end. Many fireworks, so much fire, so much confetti. You know, they kept taking. They all stood together, bowed. It was such an amazing end to the night. An amazing end to the night. And you left so satisfied.
It definitely took Download to another.
Like, apart from those little niggles, you did leave just so hyped. It was the only day where we left and I didn't feel tired afterwards. I was like, I want to do it again. I want to do it again.
And then all the riots at the village were playing Guns N' Roses songs, which I found amazing.
We just didn't really hear the last of them that day, did we?
Yeah.
It was just everywhere, which I'm not going to complain about.
I mean, everyone loves Guns N' Roses. So next up, we have an interview coming up with the band Dead.
Dead, D-E-D.
They are a newer American band. Well, they're newer in the UK.
It was the first time.
UK festival.
Yeah.
And they're lovely. And then next up, we'll have the Sunday reviews and Dead makes a surprise appearance because the lead singer actually came up to In This Moment to set and I was very happy. I really like your contacts, or is that your actual eyes?
A little bit of what?
Uh,
Okay, right. Yeah.
It would have been really hard to randomly meet three other people that all play the exact other instruments.
It was meant to be.
Yeah, it was meant to be. Yeah. You guys were just really, really lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we honestly feel that way. Is that the logo on our shirt?
Nope, different. That's just bad.
Pretty close.
Yeah. It was close. All right, sorry.
I like how you don't know about it.
No, it's similar because ours has got more shit around it.
Is that our logo?
So, how does playing festivals here different from playing festivals everywhere around the world?
This one's huge.
People have, around the world. I don't know. This is our first one over here. We've done them all over America.
Yeah.
It's different in the sense that people know us more there.
Yeah.
So, but I think we won everybody over today that was around the show, so it felt good. I mean, it's pretty much the same.
It does feel like, because one of our first shows ever was Carolina Rebellion, a big festival.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't know what to expect. We walked out there and there ended up being like 2,000 or 3,000 people. Same thing here, we were like, it's kind of like starting over again. You don't know if people are going to know your stuff. But then this time, like, people were up front singing the songs. They had some shirts.
Awesome.
It's cool to come across this far away and have people know your music. It's great.
So playing here and playing any festival, it's not like playing one of your own shows where you're headlining or you're supporting someone and not all your fans know it. It's not just your fans. So how do you cater your set list to that?
We still play kind of the same set list. We just try to win them over with our performance. You know, it's
good. Heavier stuff, circle pit stuff, stuff that's jumping, stuff that involves the crowd. You don't want to play your selfish songs. You want to play the stuff that's going to make sure that even on first listen, you get everybody jumping.
Has it worked?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
So if you guys were to make your own dream festival lineup, what would it be?
I think we're at it right now.
Really?
Yeah.
It's pretty sick.
Alive or Dead?
Yeah, Alive or Dead.
Yeah. We'd all want Pantera on the festival.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Deftones, Slipknot,
yes.
Korn.
All of them. All of our favorite bands. Probably some that would be on there.
Horizon, probably.
If there was different stages, too, we could do different genres.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably have, like, a reggae stage, you know.
Yeah.
You guys just going to have, like, your own version of Download. Just a lot of Dead or Alive bands.
Yeah. It's going to be Garth Brooks opening for Pantera.
So, now a bit of a fun one. What would you put on your pizza? What's a pizza topping that you have?
I'm a big
only one ingredient?
All of them,
okay.
I'm a big barbecue chicken pizza person, so barbecue sauce, bacon, chicken, onion, green onions. And that's God, I'm so hungry right now.
We haven't eaten all day.
There's food out there.
We're gonna get some in just a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a pepperoni pizza person. I really don't like fancy pizzas, but I love double pepperoni.
Just put more pepperoni.
More pepperoni, please.
That sounds like a plan.
Yes.
I'm the fat guy in the band, so extra cheese, extra sauce, sausage, pepperoni, mushroom, onion, green peppers.
Are any of you putting pineapple on it?
No.
I'll do it. That's a whole thing. You know,
a barbecue chicken with pineapple is actually kind of good.
Yeah, the ham and pineapple pizza I can do at a friend's birthday party when I was a kid.
Just pick the pineapples up.
Yeah.
Your friend in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's free, put whatever the fuck you want on it.
Yeah. It's free, Alex.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
That was great meeting
you. Thank you, Alex.
And that was Dead. Like I said, they were just lovely
people. Amazing.
They were fun. Scary to approach.
They are very tall.
You'd look at them.
Very scary.
You'd look at them and just think, oh, they look deadly.
But they're such sweethearts. Speaking of Dead, let's just jump right into it. This is the last third of our podcast. We're just going to talk about the Sunday, all the bands we saw, obviously Ozzy, Manson, Shinedown. And I want to talk about a very strange band that we got to see on second stage, which was Body Count. Something you really don't expect. That's how I describe Body Count. A lot of my friends are fans, so I've listened to them quite a lot, and I do really enjoy them. However, it's really weird to see Ice-T at a Download stage, and I find it hilarious. But he was so cool. It's just, he's exactly what you imagine Ice-T to be. He's very angry, but also really cool.
And funny. And cute with his kid.
He got his little daughter out.
There was a 10-year-old who was there to see them. And so, I think he said something like, 10 years old.
Not the youngest one.
10 years old, listening to Body Count. you've got Uncle Iced Tea with you now.
You're like, I was like, oh, I want an Uncle Iced Tea. And then he brought out his little 2-year-old and she was just running around and bopping her little head to all the songs, all the heavy metal songs. I was just in love with this little child on stage with Iced Tea. And he was a very, very talented band. And it was, wow, they were really good. I did not expect them to be that good.
The only downfall, really, was, I think it was, like, the hottest day
it
Sunday.
Sunday was the hottest day.
It was 25, 20, 28,
it was about
like
28. It was so hot, and it was just no clouds.
I couldn't watch. I kind of went into the shade and may have had a nap.
He missed the last
10
minutes of Body Count because he had a nap. Anyways, moving swiftly on, we're back on the main stage. We actually saw this band before we saw Body Count. It was In This Moment. Another band I really enjoy.
I'd never heard of them.
Which is wrong. They sound so good in the studio. And they have a very theatrical show.
I'm not a big fan of the music, but their show and just... It's like watching a theatre performance.
They put effort
into, you know, making this creepy kind of vibe, which I really cool.
I have to give it to them. They had a few technical difficulties because they only had about 25 minutes to set up their entire massive stage show.
I think I enjoyed was the fact that Dead, the singer for Dead, he was there an extra day.
Yeah, he came out within this moment to sing Black Wedding, which is In This Moment spin on Billy Idol's song White Wedding, and it's just very gothic and very dark. And I loved it. When he came on stage, I was like, oh my god, I know him! Oh, I love him so much! I just had a moment. But
it was a bit of a moment, wasn't
he
it?
He sounded a lot better than what Maria sounded like. And honestly, she had so many technical difficulties. I understand why she didn't sound as good as she did on her albums. But again, it was a very good show.
Yeah, I ended up enjoying it.
Then we had a bit of a break. We had a bit of a crumble break and went to the Crumble Shack.
Because like I said, it was so hot and we just needed shade. So I had 5 ice creams.
There was a really cute little ice cream truck
that we went to a lot. And the portions were amazing.
They have massive ice
cream. You know what? I know earlier you asked me what my favourite food was. I think that was it.
The ice cream bit.
Still
nothing beats Easy Cheesy for me.
But anyway, we then went and saw Shinedown. Getting ready for...
Manson. But I loved Shinedown so much. And I did not expect to love them. Because I know one song, Sound of Madness, it's on my hype playlist. But, oh my god, Shinedown were so good, and he was just such a cool guy, and he just kept running. He got off stage so many times, just ran around the crowd. And I got a bit dizzy following him, because he was just in, out. He was so quick. But, no, he was amazing, and they played some really good songs. I personally think the songs of their new album sound better live than they do in the studio recording. But, no, Shinedown are a must-see live act, and I'm so glad that I got to see them on Download. Oh my god, Shinedown were great. And then we had
Marilyn Manson.
I love Marilyn Manson. He can do nothing wrong, in my opinion.
I used to like his music. However, live, I don't think he was good at all. That's just me being honest. I know I shouldn't really say that, but personally, I think he is a studio artist, especially as he ages. I don't know. I just think he just can't really do live shows.
I think he sounded great. He sounded a lot better than he has in the last, 10 years. He was happy. He made, a solid joke.
Yeah, but, I mean, his tone of voice, even when talking to the crowd...
He sounds very bored.
...didn't change. He just seemed
happy.
Very... I'm a Download.
And then he got confused at one point, because he just went, you say Download. No, I say Download, you say. And he just...
Left it at
that. Yeah. I didn't know what we were saying.
I didn't know what I was saying.
So I just kind of went, yeah,
he did seem
Marilyn Manson.
Yeah. It was... I don't know what I was expecting.
It was good.
It was just Marilyn Manson being weird and I guess just being Manson. And like I said, I don't particularly like his live stuff. I don't think his voice really has... I don't think it sounds as good. He does the cover for...
Cry Little Sister.
A film from Lost Boys. And the original song, I love that song. I was really... I want to say offended by Manson's cover.
Offended is such a not nice thing to say about.
I really didn't like it. I didn't like his voice. I didn't like the fact that he missed bits out of the song. I get making a song your own, and I get putting your own twist on it, but I really think...
A little plug for Manson. He just released a studio version for that, so you might enjoy that more than you did the
album. I'll give it a listen. I know I won't. I'll listen to it. I can judge it then.
It was great. It was amazing. 10 out of 10. I loved it. And now, finally, after another hour gap, where we went and got more ice cream, naturally.
Yeah.
And more water. I think I went through about 12 bottles
we
of
drank
water.
A fair bit
I just
of water.
Chugged.
For a festival, I think that's the wrong thing to
that
do.
That is the most water ever drank at a festival, I imagine. But then Ozzy came on. And I would just like to say, I saw Kelly Osbourne whilst we were watching Marilyn Manson. She was just kind of bobbing her head to the side. And I was like, oh my god.
Oh, we did talk
I
about
love her.
Quickly, Manson bought a fan on stage.
He did bring a fan on stage. And it was the most awkward 2 minutes of my life.
She had a banner. And he said, bring that up to me. So she got pulled up on stage, gave him a hug, and then...
He just pushed her away.
He kind of, yeah, gave her a hug back, had a little laugh, and then kind of just patted her on the back and...
Okay,
sent her
off
away.
Off you go now.
Off you go to the side stage, don't get on stage again.
And then we found out she didn't even get to go side stage. She just got sent back down. But it's still
so she lost
cool
her
to be
place.
Just taken to...
I guess it's cool, yeah.
I mean, she hugged her idol.
If it was Avenged... And I got pulled up stage, but then expected to go
okay,
to the back.
First of
I think
all,
I'd take that.
Avenged Sevenfold will just let you hang out with them. Because Avenged Sevenfold
you.
Can do no wrong. They do give people chicken nuggets at those shows.
But sorry to get started. Back to Ozzy.
Ozzy.
So obviously you've got Avenged Sevenfold. Second time, they're bigger than they were when they first headlined. Brilliant, brilliant headliners. Saturday, you've got Guns N' Roses, who, fair enough, Ozzy's good, but I think that was the main event for Download, Guns N' Roses. But I still think finishing the festival with Ozzy, who's, I think, just as iconic and loved as Guns N' Roses, it's a good way to close off the festival. And he comes on strong.
And, yeah, with Bark at the Moon, which is such a fun song. Everyone knows, Bark at the Moon. And I like Ozzy. I'm not a massive fan. I'm more into Sabbath than I'm into Ozzy. And this was actually Ozzy's first time headlining Download. His first time playing as a solo artist.
And then he goes into Mr. Crowley.
Which is the best Ozzy Osbourne song there is.
I don't know.
It is.
Crazy Train.
I don't care. Mr. Crowley's a lot better in my
Crazy
opinion.
Train.
But and he just plays this amazing 15-song set list, which after you've seen 3.5 hours of Guns N' Roses, seems so short.
Yeah, it does.
That's literally Avenged and Ozzy set lists put together is still less than what Guns N' Roses' set list was.
Which is kind of...
Fair enough, I guess.
Hats off to Guns.
They. I'm shocked Axl didn't lose his voice, because it's such a trying time to sing for that long. But yeah, they had a crazy time. Zakk Wylde, obviously, back playing guitar for Ozzy, back doing his amazing guitar solos. I would love to see Zakk Wylde and Slash just have a guitar off.
Slash would probably win,
but Zakk Wylde is also amazing.
And then just chuck Sinister Gates in there just for fun.
Yeah, just have them just strum a bit.
But he finished with Paranoid on his encores.
Yeah, which is obviously the big Sabbath cover. But they did three Sabbath songs, which I'm quite surprised
with. Yeah, they did War Pigs and Fairies Wear Boots.
Which, again, you have to play some Sabbath when you're at an Ozzy show. Because Ozzy knows what
he knows
crowd
that
wants.
People, like, love Sabbath and... You know, he recognises that those are songs that people love. So he has to play them. And it's a good job he did. They obviously went down amazing. I think, ending with Paranoid especially. And that's then, a good ending.
And then I really liked it that right after Paranoid played a record, when he left the stage, all the fireworks blew up, everything. Download had ended
which
officially
was sad.
For this year. I'm heartbroken that I'm not at Download right now.
But, yeah, but obviously he ended, he put Changes,
which is the song
he did with Kelly.
Yeah, well, it was a Sabbath song originally.
Well, yeah, but
he did it with Kelly, and I love that version so much. It makes me cry. And just,
what doesn't make you cry?
I mean, I cried a lot at Download, but it was happy
every
tears.
Day. I think
nothing sad happened at Download. I was very, very happy.
Apart from hay fever.
Hay fever is tough, but again, Co-op has a lot of.
I'm just glad he did Crazy Train. I am glad he did Crazy Train. I love that song.
Yeah,
if that makes me basic, and it does. I just love that song.
It was a great ending to an amazing weekend, and I think everyone should go to Download and just enjoy it for what it is. And just
if you're there just for bands, 3 days, you might as well.
If you want to have fun, however,
if you want to have fun with good people. Do the 5 day. Like I said, I didn't think it was worth it, but then when I did it, it was so much fun. And I think the extra 2 days, you aren't left bored. You aren't left bored at all.
No, I think.
And this year with the weather.
The weather was amazing. I think we'll definitely be going back to Download. Maybe making another Download podcast. And just, I already want to start planning for the next one. I want to know who's headlining. I want to buy my tickets. It's just. Download is such an amazing experience, and I think everyone that's into this kind of music and it's on the scene should go there at least once.
Yeah, I think once you go for the first time, you want to keep going, and you should.
It gets you hooked.
It does get you hooked. But I'm afraid with that, we are going to have to leave you.
Thank you so much for listening. We've been Alex and Kai, and hopefully you'll hear from us again next year talking about Download 2019.
Yeah, if I'm paying.